Hello, this is Jean Carriger, president of Capstone Marketing. I am very happy to be talking today with Lexi McWiggins, senior marketing coordinator, event manager, and graphic designer at PNN and the 2014 AIM Rookie of the Year. Lexi assists the marketing department and her firm with graphic design projects, educational events and seminars, as well as trade show management, advertising, resume management, and professional presentations. As I mentioned, Lexi was named AIM's Rookie of the Year for 2014. She has less than 2 years with her firm in joining Postal Weight and Netterville or PNN in 2012. So Lexi, congratulations on being named AIM's Rookie of the Year.
Well, thank you so much. It was a great honor. And of course, I wouldn't have been able to do it without my great team that I have at PNN, but of course, it's always fun to be recognized for your hard work.
It absolutely is very well deserved because, you know, AIM, you know, they named the Rookie of the Year for going the extra mile, yeah, as they described it. And I know, Lexi, you do a lot of external events, and we're going to talk a bit about that today during our Capstone conversation. But let's start off with my asking you, with your experience in working in a CPA firm, what do you find is the greatest challenge in marketing a CPA firm?
Well, as you mentioned, I only have about 2 years of experience working with a CPA firm, but I do have a couple of years experience in marketing prior to that, and I came from retail marketing, so it was quite a different background. But I'd have to say that one of the biggest challenges I see in marketing CPA firms has to be, a lot of companies will understand that your CPA firm offers the traditional tax and audit services. However, so many firms today are starting to diversify so much. And in order to market those other services, you have to rebrand yourself so often, even with your current client base, which is very difficult, especially for our established partners who've been selling the same things for years and years and years to their clients who've been clients for years and years and years. All of a sudden, they're having to talk about technology services or consulting services, things that are not part of their normal conversations. So I think that's a big challenge for us right now, at least. And then just business development in general, there's so much competition out there. Everyone thinks they can be their own accountant. Technology is making things a lot easier for some people, and there's still a lot of companies who feel that they can do things on their own. So I think that, you know, being able to get across that we can be a business advisor so much more than someone who just turns in your tax returns for you is a challenge, but we're, you know, happy to tackle that.
So that first challenge that you mentioned, so how is PNN dealing with training or communicating the variety of services that the firm offers?
Our first step was really to train our employees. Right now, we have a lifelong learning program that we are working on, and it's really to incorporate our firm values into the everyday of our employees' lives, meaning if we, really focusing on quality service, we're giving them the tools they need to provide quality service. Well, one of the things that we really want to focus on as far as our values is that lifelong learning piece. So right now we're giving a lot of training classes to our employees. We have classes ranging from the soft skills, where it's presentations and writing, all the way to how to close a deal with someone who has absolutely no interest in hearing your services. So that education piece was definitely the first step. We educated them in all the services that we offered. We had people come in from all the different departments, kind of give, 10-minute overviews of what they do, what kind of questions your clients may be asking that could point them in the right direction of a service they need. Because although you may be a traditional tax accountant, you know someone who works down the hall from you that can offer more complicated business valuation services. So that's kind of our first step, was really that education piece.
Mm-hmm. Which is so important that every firm can do a better job about providing their people with the more soft skill type of training.
Exactly.
Now, this may not be a fair question given your short tenure so far in accounting marketing, but what is your prediction for the next 5 years in accounting marketing? Do you get any vibes one way or the other?
Well, like I previously said, I think that with the barriers to entry for the profession in general and with technology being so available, I think firms really need to be creative, and I think that they need to diversify. And so I think moving forward, a lot of firms are going to focus more on their niche development, really strategizing on how to specialize in certain markets so they can offer a different service than their competitors, really trying to find some ground that no one else is covering. I think that's at least where our firm is and focusing on taking over a whole territory. You know, you can really train your people in a certain industry to be the leaders of that industry, to be the thought leaders, and, you know, really being engaged in that part of the process. I think that's one way people are going to be heading. And then just having people really switch gears with their business development conversations is going to be a big part for us, at least. It's so easy to rely on referrals in the past. And now with the competition being what it is now, people are really going to have to switch those gears to be focused on offering solutions rather than just services. And I know that's one of the trains of thought that we're trying to ingrain, that you're not selling, you're solving problems. So I think moving forward, a lot of firms are going to start switching to that mindset.
Mm-hmm. Do you find that your people are more open or perhaps less intimidated with that change in terminology in referring it to as offering solutions as opposed to sales?
I really do. I don't know an accountant who goes to school to learn how to be a salesman. They're there to, crunch numbers and solve problems and audit, and they're so ingrained in the facts. But when you hear the word sales, not all of them are really outspoken, and they're not all, extroverted personalities maybe. And so that is very intimidating at points. So I think that it's important to have that shift in mentality, that you're not having to worry about, the everyone talks about the cheesy car salesman who's going to sell you anything but doesn't really believe in the results. Well, we're showing that listening to your clients and understanding what they really need, or listening and having those conversations with prospects, you're really able to understand how to solve a solution, not just sell them the service you're offering. And even if you're not the person who can personally solve the solution, you know someone down the hall who can.
Right, absolutely. So tell me, which of your personal skills contributes most to your success at PNN?
Not that I get made fun of too much for this at the office, but I really always try to have a positive attitude. A lot of times people come to the marketing department as venting, and they have problems they need us to help solve. And I think that in some ways we are the face of the firm. We always need to have a positive attitude and outlook on whatever we're tackling. Even when we're stressed and we're working crazy hours or we have a lot on our plates, if we're positive and we're always cheering on our team members, I think the rest of the firm can, really easily see that. So I try every day to make sure I always have a good attitude. In spite of having how busy we are, we're always excited to say how great PNN is, and really, hopefully if we're excited about it, they'll be excited about it. So that's one of the things that I think helps me a lot.
Right.
And then also, offering excellent customer service. So our customer is our firm. I mean, it's all of our employees that work with us. So if we continually show them what good customer service is, hopefully, they're going to do the same thing and show our clients what good customer service is.
Right. Well, that's an example of treating other people in a way that you want to be treated in return.
Exactly.
It could be as simple as that, right?
Exactly.
Now, I'm sure that you're building your network in accounting marketing and, that your involvement with AIM. What other factors or skills do you see in other marketers that make them successful?
I think it's really, it's kind of hard to pinpoint because I think that you need to have a very diverse set of skills in this day and age with marketing. Our team currently has 5 people and all of us have 5 very wide variety of skill sets. So I kind of focus more in the graphic design area. So I'm more, the creative and, energetic side of the marketing process where we have, I have a teammate who's an amazing editor and writer. So I think being able to diversify your skill set is important. So some of those things may include video editing, being able to design infographics. It might be the content writing whenever, your partner may have time, your partners at your firm may have time to only give you an outline for a blog post. Well, if you're able to write well, you can take that blog post and make it great. So I think those skill sets are definitely important. But our market's changing so much every day with technology. And so I know I personally set aside probably an hour or two every Monday, and I do a tutorial of some sort. I love using, there's a couple different websites that I use, and I still log in every single Monday, and I try to learn something new because you never know when you need it. You might not ever use it, but you never know.
Right. That is an excellent time management tip because we both know we have full weeks and the time can pass so quickly that you really need
exactly.
to block off that appointment and stick to that. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it doesn't happen.
Oh, I block things off of my calendar all the time when it's work, even if it's just me and my computer, because sometimes you really just need to dig deep into your projects to devote the attention that they need. So, blocking time on the calendar is huge. Favor for me.
Right. Now, I know that part of your winning the Rookie of the Year was due, obviously, to what you're achieving at PNN, and I think you do a lot of events. So I'd like to talk about that a bit. If you could give us an idea of how many events the firm sponsors and what are the topics of those events? Are they lead generators? How does that work at PNN?
Okay, so we probably have 3 main markets that we do our events in. So all of our offices, except for one, we have 1 office in Texas and all the rest are located in Louisiana. And we have 3 larger offices. And in those 3 offices, we try to host events throughout the year for our clients and our prospects. To kind of serve 2 purposes. One, it's to give our clients free CPE because we don't charge for our events. And then it's also to get in front of our clients saying, hey, how are you doing? How did that go last quarter? What can I help you with this quarter? Face-to-face, building relationships. And then it's also to show our prospects that we have very strong capabilities in certain areas. So our topics range everywhere from technology. We did a cybersecurity seminar recently, to your traditional, tax and accounting updates. We have a seminar coming up at the end of this month for government agencies. And so we've invited all of our governmental clients, and they'll get 8 hours of free CPE, and they'll also be able to be heard by speakers throughout the state who have a lot to say that could help them in their jobs every day.
Wonderful. Now, this is hard work because, I'm a fan of seminars.
Mm-hmm.
Because it gets you face-to-face with your clients and people that you want
exactly.
as clients. But it's hard to get the people in the seats. So can you tell us, how many people are attending these events?
We typically have probably around 40 to 50 seminars a year, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it is a lot.
A lot, everybody. Okay, for purposes of the recording. Right, 40 to 50 events a year for PNN.
Yeah.
That's a tremendous amount.
It is. And those are just our seminars. We do other events that are more networking based, that don't have an agenda. And those are kind of, happy hour, more fun, low-key. But for our educational seminars, depending on the market, we range between 50 and 100 people for each of them. We have a couple of seminars that are larger. Our governmental one, for example, will probably have around 250 people. But for the most part, they're around 50 to 75, I would have to say. And it takes a lot of email nagging, as I like to say, to get, people into the seats. And our best method for doing that, honestly, we figured this out recently. We have a good rhythm for it. PNN will send out the initial email to the full list. And then we make our partners, our managers, and our associate directors follow up individually with each of their clients that they're inviting. It's kind of hard to say no to your personal contact. It's very easy to say no to some nameless face at the company that you hire to do your tax return. So it's a good, I guess, method for us. We challenge our employees to really use it as a way to reach out to someone, just giving them a tool to have a conversation without being awkward and not having to be salesy. It's, hey, we're having a seminar. It's free. Lunch is on us. Come learn about X, Y, Z. And it works really well. We have a great attendance. Almost every seminar we have waiting lists.
That is, you've brought up a great point there, because clients ask me a lot, well, how do we follow up with people that we've been networking with? Or, mm-hmm. We had this mixer last week with, some attorneys. So how do we follow up with them? And extending these invitations is a great way to follow up.
Exactly. And we also, we get our people to connect with all of the attorneys and bankers and insurance agents, through LinkedIn. And they set up reminders on LinkedIn to follow up with them 8 days later, 2 months later. And we do a very diligent job in our marketing office. Our whole team puts efforts into this. Every week we remind our people, hey, this is what's coming up. We have 6 seats open. Take a client. There's no excuses. We need to fill a table. Be here. Here's who you should invite. Here's who the event is awarding. Here's the topic we're discussing. Everyone has to be interested in some way or another.
That is awesome. So obviously this must result in, tremendous client loyalty and satisfaction. Do these events also generate new business for you?
They do. So we find that a lot of times, it's like this in every industry, I'm sure, especially in professional services, it may take 2 or 3 years for you to see your lead really pay off. It's the developing of that relationship. Not all the time does someone need an accountant for something, or a business advisor, or an attorney. So we just try to stay in front of them as much as possible, and that's why we have so many events. But we do see results quite a bit, and sometimes it's quicker than others. So when there's new legislation that comes out, people tend to get scared, and they hurry up and hire you for something because they want to make sure they stay compliant. I know we had a lot of response. We had a HIPAA and meaningful use seminar in one of our markets not too long ago when we invited a bunch of healthcare workers, and they were jumping to talk to our professionals after the seminar. I think we got a few client engagements out of it just from that one day. So, of course, it pays off very fast to host a lunch for someone, and then you have a client engagement from it, because obviously the client engagement is, very worthwhile. But yes, we definitely see results from it, sometimes more than others, but we definitely see results.
Right. And do you track those results and share the results of those events?
We do. We probably should be tracking more than we are, of course, because that's something that's difficult for people to, in their daily scheme of things, they may forget to report that they had a conversation with someone that they happen to run into somewhere. But we do a very good job through our pipeline process of keeping track of how we're engaging with our prospects and our clients who are, cross-selling referrals, basically. We do a very, very good job of keeping track of all of that and make sure to pat people on the back when, they do a standout job.
Right. That's wonderful. So tell me your best piece of advice for your fellow accounting marketers.
Oh, gosh. I would have to say, it comes back to what we've talked about earlier, just to keep learning new skills. Competition is stiff out there, and not just for marketing jobs, but in accounting. And I think that we really, in order to set ourselves and our firms apart, need to keep learning. There's no excuse. The market is changing so much every day. Like I said earlier, set aside Monday mornings are my time to learn. And whether it's learning about data and analytics, or it's learning about design, you can always differentiate yourself in some way.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then what would be your best piece of advice for managing partners?
Oh gosh, maybe just listen to the marketing department. No, I'm just kidding. We actually are very, very, very lucky at PNN. We have our CEO is a huge supporter of basically anything and everything we want to do. He knows that if we're asking for it, we've done the research and the time, and it's worthwhile. So we're lucky. But I would have to say that following up is something that they all could do better at. You know, we kind of set up the game for them and we put all the pieces into play, but they actually have to close the deals. So just being diligent and determined and not being discouraged when a sale doesn't happen soon, I think that is important for our managing partners. Like I said earlier, sometimes it takes 3 years for you to see the results of all of those lunches you took someone out to. But just following up and staying persistent with it is crucial.
Right. It is a very long sales cycle. So they do, you know, oftentimes they give up too quickly.
Exactly. When we hear numbers, you know, anywhere from 15, it takes 15 touches just to get to really get into someone's attention. 15 touches, that means that you're going to lunch 15 times. You're probably going to go to lunch once a month at the most. I mean, that's over a year right there. So it really just, especially for our younger leaders, we really try to show them that it's okay if you go to lunch and nothing happens the first 7 times. Just keep going.
Right, right. Well, we've been talking today with Lexi McWiggins, the Senior Marketing Coordinator, Event Manager, and Graphic Designer at PNN. And I think Lexi has made it clear why she was named the 2014 AIM Rookie of the Year. Lexi, congratulations again.
Thank you so much.